students are starting to head back to school for another year, and for some, this means having to use a notebook or similar device at school for the very first time. Now, the whole idea of choosing the right device can be overwhelming and sometimes expensive. So we've been talking about that quite a bit here at Tech Daily, and joining in on the conversation today is Danielle Watts, Intel Education Segment Manager. G'day, Danielle.
Hi, Andy.
What do you see as the main obstacles that need to be overcome when it comes to students having to bring their own device to school?
Look, Andy, I think, firstly, it's probably taking the confusion out of it for the parents, really, in terms of what device they can choose for their children when going to school. As you know, there's just such a range of devices available for students today that, we've kind of tried to narrow it down a little bit into the type of learning students, and then we've broken it down further into the type of the devices that we think would be suitable for students. And then, you know, if you look at, primary school students, tablet devices would be absolutely fine in most cases. But then moving into secondary school, most schools likely would be recommending a notebook type of device or a two-in-one. And then, you can kind of grow from there.
So what you're saying, the best place to start is where we start by looking at what the student's going to be doing or what kind of courses they're going to be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important for the learners. So you have your creative types. And then you have the kids that are going in more into maths and engineering. They need different capabilities. However, having said that, a lot of the subjects available are still require a reasonable amount of grunt when you get into those upper level years of high school. So, for example, the creative type of kids that are going into media type of activity, they're still sort of building large files, working with media and video files, so they need a really good performing computer and something that's got a good amount of grunt in terms of its processor, as well as those children that are doing the engineering or math type of subjects.
Now, of course, I've seen various technical specifications from different schools to help guide parents as well. Now, I'm not sure if sometimes this is a bit of a hindrance. What should parents do with that information that they do get from the schools? Because sometimes they recommend specific devices. Sometimes they just send them a bunch of specs to help them choose. What do you think there?
I think BYOD has a lot of meanings to it as well.
Yeah.
So some schools, BYOD is purely open slather, and you just go and choose your own device and bring it to school, and that could be even a phone.
Mm.
And then there's other schools that stipulate a number of devices that parents should be going and purchasing. I think what we've done is we've developed a school device checklist, and we've put on there what is recommended and the essentials. And look, really, I think for what we say around it, the essentials is we need to be aware of what the screen size is. We say 10-inch minimum screen size, generally with a touch screen and a keyboard. Obviously, Wi-Fi access, so dual-band Wi-Fi is really important. The weight of the computer, so aim for something like under 1.6. There's, such lightweight, well-performing notebooks out there at the moment. Obviously, battery life for school is a big one to take note of, and we say around 6 hours battery life. Then you need to look at your connectivity in terms of your USB ports and how you connect. So you need to look, you need some USB ports on board, and of course the processor and the performance around the processor, because it's really the brains of the computer, and you can upgrade so many other things within your computer, but you can't upgrade the processor. And if you look at it, that you're probably going to have that computer for a shelf life of at least 4 years. It's probably always good to, if you can afford it, buy a little bit up the range, so you know that that's going to future-proof yourself, and you've got a device that will last you a minimum of 4 years.
Great. And actually, just going back on the processor side of things, because I do think that is, like you say, it's a key component. And, I mean, it has become a little easier over the years in understanding this, but something I found when I was in retail store just last week is there's still a bit of confusion there, because we're looking at, say, on the Intel side of things, we've got devices with Atom processors, then we've got Core M processors, we've got Celeron processors, and then you've got the Core processor family, the i3, the i5, and the i7 processors. And I'm still finding that people aren't quite aware of, you know, what part of the spectrum some of those processes fall in. Maybe you could help us out there.
Yeah, sure. So the Atom processor, I would say really anything that's probably in a low-cost tablet kind of device.
Mm-hmm.
So just a pure standalone tablet, nothing that's two-in-one or convertible type of device generally. An example, though, is probably the ASUS T100. It's got Atom in there, and it is quite a good device for school in that lower price point.
Okay.
Then when we talk about the Core M, Core M is really about the portability of the device. So it's fanless, so it's low, no overheating, it's got very good battery life, and the form factor is very light, but you still get that good performance in a Core M processor.
Okay.
And then, of course, your Core I is really performance-based, and then you can go from an i3, i5, or an i7.
And the Celeron kind of fits in between the Core M and the I, yeah?
The Celeron would probably we would say the Celeron is fitting into the value range. So the Celeron and the Pentium fit into that value range, probably between the $400 and $600 price point. Having said that, a Celeron and a Pentium performance still, they would be generally better than the performance of an Atom. The form factor would not be as thin and light, though, but
yes,
you still get the performance capabilities.
Okay, and you say that, you know, it's not unrealistic for parents to expect, you know, maybe 4 years out of device they're picking up for their kids.
Yeah, I guess I would say first and foremost, though, if there's some great deals out there on devices, but just be a little bit aware, because generally those devices that are, you know, really really good value could possibly be a couple of years old. So what I would say is just generally look to buy the most recent, and of course that will last you, give you a little bit more shelf life.
Microsoft and Intel teamed up to create this website, devicesforschool.com.au. What can parents expect to get out of that?
It really gives parents the option to go and do some research around BYOD, around the type of devices that Intel and Microsoft are recommending for schools. It shows or has devices on offer from a good, better, best price range. So, you know, from affordability up to the top of the range, they're available at all the major retailers. We've listed the devices on site from all the major OEMs, so your Dells, your HPs, your Lenovos, and of course your Microsoft products. So that site is up to date with the products, and they're available in major retailers.
Excellent. Danielle, thanks again for coming on Tech Daily.
Great. Thanks, Andy.